In Genesis chapter 24, you and I have been looking at some pictures of salvation, and last week we looked here at Isaac getting his bride. Abraham sending his servant after Isaac, a bride, and we looked at this as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ saving a sinner, bringing a sinner to himself through his gospel. And the scripture tells us in different places that the believer is the bride of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. We're told that in different places. You become dead, Paul said, to sin by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him that raised from the dead. So we're married to another, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I've espoused you to one husband. You're engaged to one husband, even Jesus Christ. So he is our husband. We call him that, and he is that, and we're his bride. But something that we noticed last week as we studied in this story about Isaac getting his bride, all the things that had to take place before he got this bride. We studied all last week about Isaac getting the bride, but we never mentioned about Rebekah, did we? We haven't even got to her. We've completed one whole study, but we never got to her. There was a lot of things that took place before this servant even looked upon Rebekah and spoke to her. Remember some of the things that took place? Abraham purposed to send his servant to get this bride. There was an oath made and entered into of where this bride was to come from, what country and what people. It had to be settled up here in verse 10, the surety of her coming. Remember, he gave those four things. Abraham said, I know by experience the Lord will bring her. He'll send his angel before you, and these things. The surety of her coming had to be settled upon. And then it was settled upon as to what the servant would take with him. He loaded up some treasures of Isaac's and took those with him. Put them on those old ugly camels. Remember the camels? And then he took out through the desert to go find this bride. So there's a lot of things that took place in just preparation for this bride of Isaac. And you know, ain't it that way with the sinner? It's this way before you and I ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever stop and realize how many things had to take place even before the Spirit came to you through a preacher? You know, when the Lord comes to us and makes us new creatures, we're new creatures in Christ, and old things are passed away. Old thoughts we had of God, those are gone. The old way of worship, those are passed away. The old way we used to think about saving ourselves, those things are gone. These are passed away, and all things have become new. We have a new God. We have a new Savior. New way of worship. A new song in our heart. Everything's new. But you know, before we're new creatures, a lot of things had to take place before the Lord ever saved us. Was there not a purpose? Did He not purpose to save us before the foundation of the world? Wasn't an oath not made? God made an oath to His Son and swore to Him, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, before His Son ever come into this world and became a priest. The oath was made. Who He would save, when they would be saved, the surety of their being saved. All the Father gives to me, they shall come to me. Other sheep I have, they're not even born yet. But them I must bring. Where they would be born at, what day they would be saved. So many things takes place in salvation before we're actually ever saved. Just like we saw last week in this. And One may say, if it's all been purposed and settled, as you say it has, then why don't you just stay at the house? I had a fellow to say to me one time, he said, if I believe what you believe, I would just stay home. I wouldn't even come to church. Well, Abraham's servant believed the same thing you and I believe, didn't he? We saw that last week. We believe the very same things he believed. What did he do? He didn't stay home, did he? Abraham told him that the Lord had this woman marked out, and he believed that this woman was marked out, appointed. Well, what did he do then? Well, you see him out there in the field gathering up those camels, saddling them up. You see him gathering all these treasures of Isaac, these precious earrings and bracelets and necklaces. You see him packing them on those camels. And you see him heading out through the wilderness. He was going to Syria. And when he got over there, what did he do? Before he ever talked to this woman, we see him there at the well. And what's he doing? He's praying, isn't he? He's praying. Oh, Lord, prosper me in this work. Bless my master and prosper me. He was praying. He didn't just sit down at home, did he, and do nothing. And we don't either. What are we doing here? What are we doing writing? What are we doing preaching? What are we doing witnessing? Because we believe that it's all been settled. A lot of things been settled before a sinner is ever brought to Jesus Christ. He said here in verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Boy, he poured out his heart to the Lord. If we believe the Lord Jesus has some people, you know what we'll do? We'll seek to use every means that God has given us, including prayer, to reach those people. Lord, bless us. If I thought salvation was by accident, if I thought it was by the power of my persuasive tongue to make somebody willing to come to Christ, I'd despair, wouldn't you? I'd absolutely despair. There's two things here in verse 14 that this servant realized. There's two things that he realized. One, look at it. Let me read the verse to you. See if you can pick out these two things. And let it come to pass. Here was his prayer. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camel drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. There's two things here that this man knew. One, he knew this, that God had appointed a bride for Isaac. He said, that's whom I'm seeking. That's who I'm going to find, that woman that you've appointed. He knew that, didn't he? He knew that. That's something good to know if you're a preacher. I'm telling you. If you're not a preacher, it's good to know. If you're a preacher, that's real good to know. There's some people out there God's appointed, and he's going to save them. And this man knew that. God has appointed this woman. And the second thing, he knew this. God was going to use him to get that woman. That's what he said in verse 14. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say. He knew that God was going to get this woman through his testimony. Now, brothers and sisters, that's two good things to know. Two good things to know. God has appointed men to salvation. And you know he's going to save them by us, by our witnessing to them, by our preaching to them. He uses means, doesn't he? He uses means. That's why we do what we do. Now, let's begin here in verse 12. Let's begin here in verse 12. We just read that. And let's begin, and let's go on down to verse 15. Let's read some of these things, because this is very important, because Rebecca looked back. She had to look back. We learn a lot by looking back upon our experience and see all the things that had to come to pass to bring us to the truth. All the things that God worked in His providence to bring us to the truth. Let's begin here in verse 15 and see some of these things. Look in verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, he asked the Lord to do this. He said, let the woman that comes out, and let me read verse 14 to you. And it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camel drink also. Let that be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac. Now verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Malka, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Empty pitcher. She was coming to get some water to well. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down into the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of your pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher unto the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Micah, which she bore unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have brought straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I been in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother. Now look at all the things that had to take place in this woman's life. And here's the marvelous thing about it. She didn't even recognize that these things must take place. This servant opened his heart up to the Lord and said, Lord, let it come to pass like this. Let me speak to this woman and let her answer me. Let her go down into the well and get me some water and give me drink. And then let her say to me, I'll water your camels also. Let all of this come to pass. All of these things had to happen. First of all, we're told here that this woman, Rebecca, had to come to this certain well at this time when he was standing there. I stand here, he said. Let her come here. That had to take place. You say, Bruce, she came there every day, probably. Maybe so. Maybe so. But what if she had not come this day? What if she had been sick this day? What if Laban, her brother, said, sis, sit down and help your mom with cleaning the house, and I'll go get the water today. What if that had happened? She had to be there, because that's the way it had to work out for her to be saved. She had to come there to this well. Even the things that was said to her and her reply had to come to pass. Lord, when I say unto her, give me to drink, and she replies, drink, my Lord, that had to be said. Even the watering of the camels. Isn't this a solemn thought, just to look at it from this perspective? What if, when he asked her for a drink of water, she had said no and went on her way? You say, Bruce, that could not have happened. We know it couldn't happen, but what if? Let's look at the what ifs. It had to happen. What if she had watered half the camels and went on her way and said, I'm tired, I just don't want to do this anymore. You know something? If that could have happened, then she would have not have been saved. And it was so important that every detail, every jot of this come to pass just as it was supposed to pass. This servant stood there and waited until those camels had thoroughly drank. And not until then did he say, that's her. That's her. See how anxious he was to know if that's her or not. He says, has everything come to pass that has to come to pass? He waited until he saw. That's a sobering thought, ain't it? That's a very sobering thought. All these things must happen. They were happening. And yet she was unaware that they had to happen. They had to happen. And as we look back on our profession, on the Lord bringing us to Himself and bringing us unto the truth, can't you see things in your life? And probably as you look back, as you get older in the Lord, you look back and you can see the providence of God bringing you to places to get you under the truth. Things that had to happen. And look back on it now, and sometimes we may say, well, what if that hadn't happened? What if that hadn't happened? I remember I left Tennessee when I was 20 years old. Joe and I got married. And there was no work. Joe got laid off, and I was driving a produce truck, so that ended that. And we said, well, we got to leave. I cried like a baby. I got my old dog and hugged him up, and man, I cried. And I thought, I don't want to leave this place. I don't want to go to Muncie, Indiana. What's a Muncie, Indiana? Left with $25. Ain't that what we had in our pocket when we left? And come up here, and I thought, one thing about it, I'm not going to the factory. I've done tried that, and I thought, man, you ain't getting me in the factory. I worked two years at a filling station rather than going to a factory and getting a good factory job. Well, finally, I got shut up, and I had to go to the factory. About kill me. A hot Ford shop, running those old gears, getting them out of the furnace, and man, come out of there with my clothes white. We had to eat salt tablets, those old round salt. Remember those things? One day had to kill us. But I sat down there with a fellow one day, and he told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time, I was raised with, my dad was a Free Will Baptist preacher. First time in my life that I ever was told about Jesus Christ. Sitting there sweating with an old hard hat and glasses on, and the man told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went and bought me a Bible. Why in the world would I have went and bought me a Bible? And sat down and began to read it. And it scared me to death to read it. But you know, I've often looked back and thought, what if I had not left Tennessee? What if I had not went to that factory? What if that guy had not have been there to spoke to me about the Lord Jesus Christ? All of these things, and I bet you, as you look back in your life, you can see places that the Lord brought you under the truth of the gospel. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You stand in awe almost of it. As you look back through history, you hear some tales that men have told, how the Lord has brought them under the truth. I was reading, they used to persecute these preachers during George Whitefield's day. They used to preach out in the field, out in the open air. And they had a lot of people that hackled them all the time. They'd feel their coats full of eggs or rocks, and they'd sit up in the tree, and when the preacher would go preaching, they'd throw rocks at him and throw eggs at him. And this one fella gave his testimony, and I read his testimony, and I had to chuckle when I read it. But he hated to hear him preach, so he had his rocks in his pockets, and he had his ears stopped up, so he couldn't hear what the preacher was saying. A bug lit on his nose, And he said he shut violently to try to get the bug off of his nose. And he said finally when he removed one hand to smack the bug, the preacher hollered, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And he said, my heart was smitten. I couldn't get away from that. And the Lord used that to convert him. What if that bug had not a lip on his nose? See that? Right down to the little detail, isn't it? You know when Zacchaeus had it in his heart to climb up that tree where he could see the Lord? Did you ever wonder, what if that tree hadn't been there? What if that tree, what would he have did? Maybe somebody else started up that tree to see the Lord and got a splinter in his hand and went home to dig it out. Do you ever think about that? When Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch got together down there in the desert, you know that had to happen. Here was that eunuch going back home unsaved, reading the Bible, had no idea what it was teaching, as lost and confused as he could be, and it just so happened, here come a preacher, and they met out in the middle of that desert, and the preacher preached the gospel to him. I wonder if there wasn't another unit or another company about 30 minutes before him passed by just before Philip got down there. And I wonder who came by after Philip left. See these things that have to come to pass. And you look back on it and you say, man, what if this had not happened? What if this had not happened? But it did happen, didn't it? But unknown to you, there was somebody else arranging all of this thing. It had to happen, but it did happen. It did happen. That woman that came to Jacob's well, I wonder how many women came to Jacob's well that day. Huh? But nobody came that time the Lord was there, did it? When she came, the Lord was there. Other women had no doubt came, that's where they got the water, but the Lord wasn't there, was he? The Lord wasn't there. What if he hadn't been there? What if he hadn't sat and waited? She'd have drawn her water and went back home. See all these things that has to come to pass, and they do come to pass, and you didn't even know about it. But when you look back, you see, boy, I see how the Lord shut me up. I see what he used to get to me. And how it all worked out. Look back. You look back. All things come together to bring you to faith in Christ. And you stand humble. And you stand in awe of it. Here in verses 35 through verse 48. Look at something else. We'll have to skip over some of this. You'll have to read it at your leisure. This is a wonderful story. Every verse is wonderful. But in verses 35 through verse 38, or through verse 48, I want to read this to you too. And I want to read it to you. And you'll notice all this is, from verse 35 to verse 48, is repeating something that's already happened. You'll notice the repetition in this. He first asked the Lord, "Lord, let her say this and reply to my request. Let her go down and water the camels." That's what he said to the Lord. Then he repeats that another time as it actually happens. Now he goes to her mother's house and her dad's house and her brother's house, and now he's going to tell them everything that happened. And if you read this, after all, you say, well, I don't need to read that because I know what happened. You know, just repetition. There's a need for him doing this. There's a need for him to go over this and rehearse everything that happened. You know why? Rebecca needs to hear it. She didn't know that all this was purposed. She didn't know that all this had to come to pass. She may have thought, well, that was just an accident, as happenstance. So she's going to be taught a good lesson. And as she hears this servant repeat everything that's happened, she's going to stand in awe. She's going to learn some things. And let's see some things that she's going to learn. Let's begin reading here at verse 35. And look, it is just what we've already studied on, what we already know. This is where she brought him in to her house. Her brother went out, Laban went out and brought him into the house. And in verse 35, and they said there in verse 33, "We fixed you a meal, sit down and eat." And he told them who he was. But verse 35, and he said, "The Lord hath blessed my master greatly." This is what he told Rebekah. This is what he told Rebekah's mother and her brother and her dad and her family. "The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he is become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and to him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, that thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell." We already knew that, didn't we? "But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred to take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house." We learned that too, didn't we? We haven't learned a thing that we don't already know. "Then shalt thou be clear from thine oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee a wife, then thou shalt be clear from thine oath. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou dost prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and also drink, I will draw for your camels. Let the same be the woman whom thou, Lord, hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels to drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's daughter, my master's brother's daughter, unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly with me and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Now, three things I want to show you right quickly. What Rebekah heard from this servant, and why she needed to hear it, and what she learned from it. And this is one of the reasons that we go over and over these things, because there's so many things that you and I don't know, as young believers especially. So this is what we learn. We need repetition. Let's see some things she learned. In verse 35 and verse 36, look what she learned. In verse 36, Abraham had all these riches and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and to him hath he given all that he had. Here's something she found out that she didn't know before. That Abraham was exceeding rich. And he had given everything he had, all his treasure, he had given them to Isaac, his son. And as this servant told them this, here Rebekah is standing there, and she's got this earring in. And she's standing there rubbing that earring. And you know what she's thinking? This is Isaac's. This belongs to Isaac. And she's looking at those gold bracelets And she said, "These are Isaac. These are Isaac." And as she hears that, what she's told, that that's just a very, very small portion of all that belongs to Isaac. He is filthy rich. He has treasures that's been given him of his father Abraham. And you know something, what she's told now? Not only is he rich, but he's wanting and willing to share all his riches with her. Did you see why she needed to have this repeated to her? She had some things of Isaac's own, but now she finds out more about it. She finds out how filthy rich he is. And oh, no doubt, her heart begins to go out to want to meet him and be his wife. That he must be so loving, even though he's so rich, to share all these riches with her. What am I saying? Well, I'm saying this. Sinners need to be told of the riches of Christ. Sinners need to be told that the Father in heaven, who is the creator and owner of everything, has given everything that he has over to his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, all of us are in agreement that if we talk to lost people, we need to warn them. We need to warn them of the dreadful and sad and dangerous state that they're in. But we don't want to stop there, do we? We want to tell them of the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He's rich in mercy. That He's rich in redemption. He's rich in grace. He's rich in pardon. You know what those Pharisees did to those poor publicans and harlots and sinners? They discouraged them to death. They didn't have a gospel to preach. The Pharisees and scribes, they had a message for good people. They had a message for righteous people. And those publican sinners, they wouldn't come around them. They say, "You guys got nothing for us. You got a message for the righteous people. We're sinners. We despair to hear your message." But when Christ came on the scene, and He started preaching, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," that appealed to them. When He preached unto them that "I've come, the Son of Man has come, that all manner of sin and blasphemy would be forgiven the children of men." I didn't come to save the righteous. I didn't come to call righteous. I come to call sinners to repentance. And boy, that got in their hearts. They heard that. They said, "Man, that's different than what we've ever heard." There was something appealing to this. And you know what they did? You know what they did? They started coming and sitting at Jesus' feet. These treasures that were in Him attracted them. It won their heart. Paul said, "I preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ." If we want men to come to Christ, tell them of Christ. If we want something to appeal to them, tell them about the wonder of forgiveness and redemption that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father has put it in Him. Give it to Him. He's rich, ain't He? He's rich beyond measure. And I tell you, it's riches you can't find in this world. When Rebecca looked at those bracelets, she said, "Man, there ain't nothing like this made in this country." That's from another country. And it appealed to her. The beauty of Jesus Christ and the glory of Christ and the riches of Christ's redeeming love is in Christ. Let's tell sinners about Him and about His riches. Rebekahs need to hear about it. They need to hear about the riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was appealing to her. It was appealing to her. And how else was she going to hear about it if this man didn't repeat it again? Secondly, she heard this. Look here in verse 40. She heard this. Boy, this cleared up some things for her and probably made her stand in awe. Not only did she hear about Isaac and all his riches that Abraham had given to him, but here in verse 40, "And Abraham said unto me," in verse 40, here's what the servant said, Abraham said, "The Lord before whom I walk will send His angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house." Rebekah heard this. This guy said, Abraham said before I ever left my homeland that there's going to be an angel going with me. And he's going to prosper my way. And I was going to find the wife for Isaac. You know what probably dawned upon her mind? No wonder I was at the well that morning. Now I know why I was at the well. Now I know why I said, well, drink, my Lord, and I'll water your camels also. Now I see why all of these things come together as they did. There was this angel, this unseen messenger working everything. Why did I leave Tennessee? Now I know why I left Tennessee. Why did I get sick of working in the filling station and go to the factory I didn't even want to go? Now I see. Why did I go buy me a Bible? Now I see. Now I see. Now you know, don't you, why everything happened in your life to bring you to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This unseen messenger, the Spirit of the living God, in His sovereign providence, arranged it all and brought you there and brought the truth to you. And now we know this unseen messenger. And it's there, ain't it? It's there. You and I can't arrange things to get sinners under the truth. It's an amazing mystery how it all happens. It's the mystery of God. And the third thing is this. We find it here in verse 44. Here's something else you heard. And boy, can't you imagine how she rejoiced when she heard this? She didn't know this. She had no way of knowing this until she heard this servant say this. Look in verse 44. This is the servant still rehearsing everything that had taken place. And she saying to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. This is the first time she ever heard such a thing. He believed it. Abraham's servant believed it. It was even in his prayer, wasn't it? And now he's preaching it. Somebody said the other day that some preachers, they'll pray, and they pray. When they pray right. Poor things, they just don't preach right. We should pray right and preach right, shouldn't we? And he believed it. And now she hears it. And she believes it. I was the one. I was appointed. You mean I just didn't happen to go there? I just didn't happen to hear and say what I said? That didn't just happen. Me being Isaac's wife, this rich man's wife, God has appointed me to be his wife. Don't you think she was amazed by that? It wasn't how good looking she was. She was a beautiful lady, the Bible tells us that. I tell you, there's more than that involved in it. God's will was involved in it. God's choice was involved in it. And people say, why do you just dwell on that all the time? Well, we can't help it. Everywhere we look, we find it, don't we? It's all through this story. We can't help it. I'm sorry. But we can't help it. We can't help it. And don't you rejoice in it?
Yes.
Where would we be if we didn't have some hope that God had appointed us to come to Christ? He had appointed us to believe in Christ. He had appointed us to life eternal. You remember when Paul, his first missionary journey, him and Barnabas, that went into Antioch and is preaching to the Jews? And he's preaching on through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, everybody that believes is justified from all things by which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. There just happened to be some poor old dead dog Gentiles standing there that day. And they made their way up to Paul and Barnabas and they said, reckon you can preach that to us? He said, when you want to hear it? They said, how about next Sunday? We got a bunch of friends that we want to come here and listen to that message if God allow you to preach it to us. Next Sunday, Paul and Barnabas showed up there, right that same place. And a host of Gentiles like you never laid your eyes on. Man, there's everywhere. And these Jews got so upset and so jealous that he's preaching to the Gentiles, and they began to blaspheme. And Paul said, since you count yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we're turning from you and turning to the Gentiles. For God has said, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles. I'm going to save the Gentiles. That's what he's saying. I'm going to bring light to the Gentiles. And those Gentiles heard that, and it said they were glad. They were glad. And you know what the very next verse tells us? Everyone that was appointed, was ordained to eternal life, they believed. No more, and thank God no less. There was a bunch of Rebekahs there that day, unknown to them or anybody else. This messenger had arranged everything for them to be there and to hear this message. And they found out that God had appointed them to come to Christ, to believe in Christ. And you can bet they were amazed and they were in wonder and they rejoiced and they were thankful, just like Rebekah. But she had to hear that. Somebody said, well, when the Lord saves you, you just automatically know about election. You don't either. We don't know nothing if somebody don't tell us, do we? You'll know what you've been told. And that's it. That's it. Okay, look over in verse 23. We're drawing this to a close. Quickly. Verse 53. Boy, look at this. Can you imagine this? Verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He's running out there just every whip stitch, and he's got those old camels sitting out there. And remember the old ugly camels? They're still loaded down with these precious jewels. He'd go out there and he'd get a beautiful necklace and bring it in, put it on her. Some more beautiful bracelets and bring them in and put them on her. And don't you know what she was thinking? These belong to Isaac. Oh, he must be rich. 10 camels loaded down with the things of Isaac. He must be rich. You know how you belong to Christ. He's putting some things on you that belong to Him. If you're here tonight and you're His, He's give you some of His jewels. Faith is one of them. Love is another. Hope is another. He's put the graces of His Spirit in your heart. And you didn't have those. And those aren't by nature. Those come from heaven. Those come from another country. And you know the last part of verse 53. Notice how the gospel blesses people that's just around it. Just being around the gospel blesses people. And He gave it to Rebekah, and He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. You take a society where the gospel is known and loved and where Christ is worshipped, that's a blessing to society. That's a blessing to society. God blesses a community for His people's sake. Did you notice that? He sure does. He sure does. Verse 56. And He said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, and send me away that I may go to my master's house. And they said, we will call the damsel, and we will inquire at her mouth. He said, you know, it's time for me to go back now and take her to Isaac. And they said, well, stay about 10 more days. He said, no, don't do this to me. I've come here and God's prospered me. Now you send me away. God's prospered my journey. I found this woman as He's appointed. Now you send me away. They said, well, let us call for her. In verse 58, they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. We can look at this in different ways. We can look at this in our initial coming to Christ, can't we? You came to Christ willingly. He dealt with you in such a way that He broke your will. He enlightened your understanding. He brought you to Him. You become willing to be saved by Christ. We can look at it that way. You know another way we can look at it too? How often in our lives as Christians we have to become willing to follow Him. We have to become willing to bow and accept His providence, whatever He's brought us into. The Lord ever crossed your path? And boy, at first you couldn't say, "Lord, your will be done." You might pray that, but you can't say that in your heart. So you have to die. You just die. You reach the point where the Master did in the garden. "Father, not my will. Your will be done." And this can also be looked at as this. What if the messenger come to you today and said, "Gail, this is the last day in the world for you. I'm going to take you to the Master today. I'm going to take you to your husband today." And you know what Gail would say? "Let's go." Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go today? Do you love Him so much you long to see His face? You've seen His treasures that He's put upon you. You've thought about Him. You believe in Him. But you long to see His face. If you were told that He was appearing today, you would love it. You would say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Are you willing? Willing to leave this life? You don't have too big a hold on this life. You don't want to leave it, do you? "I can't leave family, I can't leave friends, I can't leave job, can't leave things." You're not like that, are you? As He brought you to the place where He said, "You're going to be with the Lord today. Let's go. Let's go. Let good and kindred go, this mortal life also, when the Master calls." And I don't know how long it took them to get there. I imagine quite some time. But look what he said in verse 61. "And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahoroah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she said to the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?' And the servant had said, "It is my master.' Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Can you imagine what a scene that was? Can you imagine that? When he first saw her and had on his things, and she first saw him and thought, my, the half wasn't told me. Can you imagine what it'll be when we leave this world and we see our Savior? We're told here about His beauty. We're told here about His precious thing. We're told here about the heaven where He dwells. But brothers and sisters, the half has never been told us. And when we see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace, what a day that will be. Lord bless you. Lord bless His